And we're holding on Lamed Aleph, Amud Aleph, the second line. And we learned at the end of the previous Amud a number of drashas that the Gemara had brought, a number of dinim that we learned from the fact that it says in the pasuk Midvar Shekhar Tirchot. So we had four things about a Dayan that he has to be careful about to avoid issues of Shekhar. And it means we're not even talking about where it's blatant Shekhar, but just where it might lead to that. So the Gemara had brought four things for that. So now the Gemara is going to bring more drushes on Midvar Shekhar Tirchot, but unlike the other ones who were addressed to Dayanim, here we have ones that are addressed to the Talmidim and to the Balei Din and more generally to the conduct of Beis Din. So the Gemara says, Simon Tlosa Talmud or Tlas Balei Chayv Smautu Shemeo Matim. So as is often the case, these are keywords for various for the various statements that the Gemara is going to bring. One word for each one. I've mentioned sometimes previously in the shir here a sefer by Rabbi David Pardo named Lamnaseach LeDavid, where at the end of it he goes through all of these simonim and shas and finds deeper meanings in them. So here also he finds one in this, the one from yesterday actually. Also, he says Sanigrin Bur Gzeilas Mirma. He says Sanigrin means a defender. So he says that refers to when you have the defender of the Jewish people, the defender of a tzibur, namely the one who's davening by the Omer, it has to be a chacham and a tzaddik and so forth. If he's a bur, if he's empty and all he knows is chazonus, then it's not so good. Gzeilas Mirma, then it's like stealing and being dishonest and just bringing strength into klippus. So now he says, as far as this one, the plus of Talmud, etc., he says it's hinting at the problem of Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara is also part of Midvar Shekhar Tirchot. So now you have them. So Tlosa, there are three people who are harmed by Lashon Hara, as the Gemara tells us elsewhere. Talmud, we find that from the famous Talmud Doeg HaDoimi, who was involved in Lashon Hara. He spoke Lashon Hara about David, and in the end he was punished severely for it, as we learned in Sanhedrin. Then Otlas Balei Chayv refers to the fact then that a person who's Nichshel Lashon Hara has three Balei Chayv against him, three accusers against him, because it's considered as if he violated Avodah Zarah, Gilah Arayis, and Shfichas Damim. And then let's talk about how bad somebody is who goes and tells Lashon Hara, Smautot means rags, so he's like a peddler peddling around rags, Shemeya Omatim, and he's going and then hearing Lashon Hara and going and explaining it to other people. So then this whole simon over here is talking about, is hinting at the dangers of Lashon Hara. Anyway, so the Gemara goes through, so you have a bunch of dinim over here that apply to a Talmud, a bunch of dinim that apply to a Baal Chayv, and three more general ones, all of which we learn from Midvar Shekhar Tirchot. So the first one, Minayim the Talmud sheyoshev lifnei rabbi. A Talmud is sitting in front of his Rebbe, v'royas chus la'oni v'chayv la'osher. So he sees, as the case is going on, he sees reason to say, which his Rebbe did not realize, that there is a reason to say that the poor person in the case has a good point, and that the din should be passed in his favor. V'choiv la'osher, and then on the other hand, there'd be something detrimental to the rich person. Minayin shalo yishtoik, how do we know he can't be quiet out of fear of the rich person and out of fear of his Rebbe? Tamad lema midvar shekhar tirchot, that's included in midvar shekhar tirchot. He has to speak up and tell and then point out to his Rebbe the point that he overlooked. Most of the poskim say this would apply the other way around as well, and it's only mentioning that it's a detrimental to the rich person and favorable to the poor person, because that's usually we would expect him to be afraid to speak up in that case. The Bach actually says that it might be only in this case, but if it's the other way around, if this Rebbe is going to pass in favor of the poor person and he finds reason not to, the Bach argues that might not be an issue for the Talmud to be quiet, but most of the other poskim and Nosekelim and Shulchan Aruch and whatnot disagree with that. Another one. Minayim the Talmud shoroyas rabbi toya badin. How do we know also a Talmud sees his Rebbe is making a mistake in a din Torah? Shalor Yoimar, he shouldn't say to himself, Amtin lo, you know what, let me wait, I'm not going to speak up right now, I'll wait, Abshid Merenu, until he finishes speaking out this point and explaining what the verdict should be. Vasterenu, and then I'm going to slug him up and point out that I have reason to say not like he said, Vasnenu Mishali, and then I'll rebuild it on my own. In other words, I'll show how I'll start proving logically what the din should actually be. Kadeshi Kore Adin Al Shmi, so this way the din will be known by my name. This way people will start calling it, this is the din Torah that was Paskin based on my contribution. No, Tamad Lagma, Midvar Shekha Tirchak, that's also a matter of Midvar Shekha Tirchak, because that would be that you can't allow things to get to that point where his Rebbe is going to think to make a mistake. So no, you have to tell him now. You can't openly contradict him either, because you can't do that to your Rebbe. So you would have to tell him, Rebbe, didn't you teach me such and such? And the Rebbe himself will realize what the problem is. Next, Minai, here another one of the rest of the Talmud. By the way, as far as the first one with the Zchus La'oni and Choy V'la'osher, Tosfos points out that the Gemara in Sanhedrin mentions that point as well, but learns it from a different pasuk, Lois Guru Mipnei Ish, that the Dayanim are told not to be afraid of anybody. So here also, the Talmud shouldn't be afraid of the rich person and or of his Rebbe, and then not speak up right away. Okay. Another one, Minayim the Talmud Sha'omale Rabbi, how do we know the following din? Suppose a Talmud's Rebbe tells him, Yedea Atabi, now, so in the previous cases we're talking about where the Talmud is, where his Rebbe is one of the Dayanim. Now we're going to talk about rather where his Rebbe is not one of the Dayanim, but rather one of the Bali Dinim. So Sha'omale Rabbi, his Rebbe tells him, Yedea Atabi, now you know me, I'm your Rebbe after all, you know that you can trust me. So he says, you know that even if they were to give me 100 mana, I would never tell a lie. Well, right now the situation is mana yeshli etzel ploini, there's a mana that ploini owes me. The problem is I only have one aid against him, and one aid is not enough to make him pay. The most it's able to do is make him chayav shvur. So the Rebbe tells the Talmud, minayin shalit staref imoy, how do we know that this Talmud is not allowed to then go and join with that other aid to testify? And he can't, because that would be hearsay. First of all, it's hearsay. He wasn't there. And second of all, he heard from one of the Bali Dinim himself, his Rebbe. So even though he can surely trust his Rebbe to be telling the truth, nevertheless, he can't. Talmud Lomer Midvar Shekhar Tirchak. This is also a matter of Midvar Shekhar Tirchak, because the fact is he's not an aide, and how can he come there and testify on his Rebbe's behalf? So the Gemara asks, what do you mean? Hi, Midvar Shekhar Tirchak Nafka. What are we learning that from Midvar Shekhar Tirchak? Havadesh, that's not written just from Midvar Shekhar Tirchak. Keep away from a lie, which means, in other words, like go lefnim Meshuras Adin. This is outright lying. Vadesh Akurika Mashakir. He's outright lying if he were to do that, saying that he saw the thing happen when he didn't. Rachmana Amar, and the Torah tells us, Loisana Bereacha Eid Shoker. So what are we learning it from Midvar Shekhar Tircha? So Ella, no. Rather, the case is kind of omalei. So suppose the Rebbe says, not a matter of you being an aide. Vade chad sada isli. The fact is, I do have one aide who says that this guy owes me the money. So I don't want you to testify. The ta'at kum hasam. I just want you to come and stand there. V'loitem v'loimidi. You don't need to say anything. So that way you're not over on loisana bereacha eid shoker. But d'holei mapkus mepumach shikra, so therefore you're not saying any lie with your mouth. But you'll be there, and that way the other person will think that I have to aid him, and maybe that'll get him to admit. So how do we know you're not allowed to do that? Is also afilah hochi also, even such a thing as also mishum shenem midvar shekhar tirchak. That's also midvar shekhar tirchak. So now what's the problem on the face of it? The fact is, the other guy does owe him the money, so maybe what's the problem with it? So the Smeh points out that, and Shulchan Aruch points out the problem is that, fine, the problem is that now when the other guy sees what he thinks are true aid him against him, not just he might admit to what he truly owes, maybe that's not such a problem, but he might end up compromising and admitting to something that he shouldn't have to, and just making a compromise because he's afraid that he's going to be convicted in Beis Din and made to pay the whole thing. So in other words, like this, without the Talmud standing over there, the Baal Din, yeah, he still has to pay the money that he owes, but there might be money that otherwise he would be firm in his thing. You know, the fact is, I don't owe this, or we have other terms, or whatever. But now he's going to end up admitting even the things that he doesn't need to. The Chazanish says it's more matter of just that it makes it look like he wants to be, that he wants to lie over there, and therefore, so that's it's still considered a form of sheker. Okay, so that we also learn from Advar Sheker Tirchak. Now, as far as the Balei Dinim, here's things that we learn from Advar Sheker Tirchak. Minayim lemnoshe b'chaveri mona. How do we know one person is owed a mona by another one? Shalo yoymar, that he shouldn't say to himself, et anenu b'masayim, you know what, in fact he only owes me 100, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to claim 200, kadesh yodeli b'mana, and that way he'll admit to one mana that he owes, b'yis chayev l'shvur, and that way he'll be chayev l'shvur, because moedu b'mitzas, as we're going to learn extensively in the rest of the Masechta, and that will give me an opportunity for gilgal shvur, which is, in other words, you can have a case where Reuben has a claim against Shimon, which in and of itself is not strong enough to be mechayev him a shvur. It's not strong enough, or it's on things where shvur doesn't apply, or various other possibilities about that. So now, but you can include it once you're making him swear and based it on one thing, then you can include by Gilgal Shvua other things. We learn that from the concept of Sota, where the Torah tells us that the Kohen beswears the Sota and tells her that if you aren't guilty of what your husband accused you of, but then she says Omein Omein, and the Gemara explains it means that also she's including with that, that she's agreeing to accept the Shvua, that she's also not guilty of having been Mizana at other times during the Erosin or other times like that, where in and of themselves the husband wouldn't have been able to have her go through the whole Sota process, but now they can include in Gilgal Shvua. So now the same thing, Reuben is thinking to himself, if I just say to Shimon, you owe me 100, and he denies it, then that's it. I'm stuck. He's a kofer hakol, and midaraisa, there's no shvur. Midarabanan, as we'll learn later in the Masechta, there's shvur's heses, but still. So now he wants to have an opportunity for Gilgal Shvur, so he's going to put the other guy in a situation where he's going to have to swear, and now he can use Gilgal Shvur. So no, how do we know? He can't do that. Talmud Bavli Midvar Sheker Tirchak, this is also a problem of Midvar Sheker Tirchak. Because the fact is it's lying. The fact is that he's claiming that the other guy owes him 200 when he knows full well that he owes him only 100. So in fact, Mao Shaw explains that the case would be actually where he knows that the other claim is true, and he knows the other guy would admit to it to avoid the shvur sheker, and nevertheless the problem is midvar sheker tirchak. Marsha points out over here an interesting remez that you have the word sheker itself. The kuf is 100, the resh is 200, and the shin stands for the word shvur. So it represents that there can be a sheker by claiming 200 in place of 100 and doing that in a way of doing that to cause him to do a shvur. And you're not allowed to do that. Vice versa, or minayim lenoshe b'chaveri mona. How about the other way around? Suppose the other guy is doing that, and so now he wants to counter. Now he wants to counteract him. So how do we know that he owes him a mona? V'tonei masayim, and sure enough, the other guy is not listening to the previous thing, and he is doing midvar sheker tirchak, and he's claiming 200. Shelo yoymar. So the plaintiff should not say to himself, "Fine, here's what I'm going to do to counteract his trick." I'll deny the whole thing in Bastin. That way I'm a kofer hakol and I don't have to swear. V'odoloi chutzah Bastin. However, I will, outside of Bastin, I'll admit to him to the mana that I do in fact owe. Kadesha loyas chayev lo shvur. So that way I won't be chayev a shvur of moedim mitzvahs in the first place. V'lo yigalgal al shvur of makamacher. And this way he won't have an opportunity for gilgal shvur. So Talmud Lomer, Midvar Sheker Tirchak, that's also, he's not allowed to, because Midvar Sheker Tirchak, if the other guy is acting in a dishonest way and claiming more, then you can't go and counteract him with more dishonesty. Instead, you tell based on what the situation is and leave them to work out how to deal with the matter. Tosfos actually asks a question in that case. Here you have, the guy's claiming from him a mana which he knows he owes. What is he more afraid of Gilgal Shvur for? He's anyway going to admit to the mana. What's he concerned about Gilgal Shvur? So Tosfos says, let's say, for example, he knows that the other guy is going to claim with Gilgal Shvur are He doesn't have enough to pay those as well. So he thinks to himself, it's not so much I don't want to pay those things at all. I'm not a cheater. I'm going to pay my debts, but I don't have the money for it right now. So I'm going to stall for time. I'm going to claim that I don't owe anything of the original 200 that he's claiming. This way he won't have a chance for Gil, sure. And afterwards, privately, I can go over to him and arrange terms with him and then delay things. Marshall points out in this connection, in the previous case, in other words, the plaintiff knows that what he wants to do with Gilgul is true, and he knows and that the other guy knows it's true, and he's not going to swear falsely, so he'll admit on the Gilgul Shvur. Here we're talking about the Nitva, the defendant. He's afraid why is he more afraid of one than the other? And the answer is, as Tosfos says, because he doesn't have enough to pay the whole thing. So those are the various things that apply. So those are two of the things that apply to the balichoy, and then a third one. Minayim l'shloisha shenoshin monabechad. Suppose that three people are owed money by one person. And now, suppose they don't have any edim. So they come up with an idea between themselves. They shouldn't have one of them pose as a baldin and the other two will pose as the edim. This way they can extract the money from him. They'll have two edim. So now Basin will make him pay the money. The achloku, and then they'll split it among themselves. So how do we know? They can't do that. This is also a matter of midrash shekhar turchak, and you're not allowed to do it either. What you could do in principle is you could have that two of them could actually withdraw from it and then withdraw any of their claims to this money. And then they would actually be able to be, and then they'd be edim on it, but you have to have that it's a binding thing, and then they're not going to go and split it, among themselves. The Ritva points out that they would have to inform that because of Midvar Shekhar Tirchak, so they would have to inform the Beis Din and the other Baal Din that they're doing that, that they're recusing themselves from any claim to this money, and then afterward, and then they could validly be edim. Next. Now let's talk about more generally things that don't apply specifically to the Talmidim or the Baladinim. Two people come to a din Torah. Echad lovish smartutin. One of them is wearing rags. The other one is wearing an itzlis, which is a fancy robe that's worth 100 mana. So now there's a problem there's reason to be concerned, either that the yonim might actually be biased in favor of the rich person, or at least that it might look like the poor person is going to think to himself that they're going to think to himself that the dayanim are going to favor the other guy, and he's going to be afraid to speak up, and you have the problem yisak mutanoisa, that his tainus are going to be closed up. He's going to say to himself, Rashi says, how are Beis Din going to trust me against such an important person? So how do we know then? Then in that case, we tell the rich person, Levoish kemoisa, either wear ragged clothing like he is, or halbishehu kemoisa, or give him clothing like yourself. Now, not literally like yourself, the Ritva points out. We're not expecting him to give him a robe of 100 mana to wear, but in other words, at least it shouldn't be such a huge disparity between them. Rishonim points out, the Ravan points out, among the Achronim, the Torah Chaim points out, the Noisa Kelim on Shulchan Aruch point out that nowadays we don't necessarily do that because, for one thing, we don't usually have, nobody wears an Itzlis Bas Mea Mona anymore, nobody wears clothing that's that expensive. But anyway, how do we know back in those times when such a thing could happen? So, Talmud Lomar Midvar Shekhar Tirchak, so again, it's a matter of Midvar Shekhar Tirchak. And the Gemara gives an example. When Baal Din would come in front of Rav Bar Rav Huna, and some of them would be very rich and important and wearing fancy clothing, Omalahu, he would tell them, Shlufu Puzmakaihu, take off your fancy footwear. Puzmakaihu literally means like socks or slippers or something like that, but it means some kind of really fancy shoes that they would be wearing, v'chusta l'dinah, and then come down for the din Torah, but not without that, because without that, then you have the other person opposite you who's coming with plain old shoes or even barefoot or whatever is going to be afraid to speak up. The vote on this, pneumistic vote on this, that the Bnei Sosfa brings from the Ramah Mifano, that we have the same kind of thing when we're in judgment for in front of Hashem. So our averus cause our clothing to be stained, so to speak. Meanwhile, Hashem's clothing is pure white. The pasuk in Daniel describes Hashem levushi to slag chiver. Hashem's clothing is like pure white snow. So now, so we say there has to be the same kind of thing. There can't be that disparity. Therefore, in order for Hashem to judge us, he has to first, so to speak, put us in white clothing, forgive us our averus, and then we can have the din Torah, and Hashem can judge us. But we have to start with that Hashem is already ready to clean up our averus and give us white, spotless clothing. He says, we have the pasuk in Yeshaya, we have an after of Shabbos Chazon, L'chu navnim v'cha yomer Hashem. Hashem says, come, let's debate together. Even if your averus are white, are red like scarlet, they'll become white like snow. So that means, in other words, Hashem is saying that instead of I'll be the dayan and you'll be the people who are being judged in front of Beis Din, instead will be like two equal people, one opposite the other in Beis Din, and then we'll clean you up, and then we're ready for the din Torah. Okay, getting back to the Gemara. Minayim adayin shalo yishma bal divre bal din chaveri kodem shiyava bal din chaveri. How do we know that the dayin is not allowed to hear the arguments of one side before the other side shows up? Tamazlam midvar sheker tirchak. This is also a matter of midvar sheker tirchak, because that makes it that now the dayin is much more likely to, now he's gotten the other person's arguments into his head, and it's going to be much harder for him to override that and to think of the other person's arguments fairly. So that's also midvar sheker tirchak. He also, Tosfos points out, that in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, when it brings this din, it learns it from a different pasuk. Shamaya bein achechem. Rav Kahana Masni, Rav Kahana learned, there's another din that we can, Uminayim Abal Din, Shalay Yatin Dvar of Ladayan, Kedim Shiyav Abal Din Chaveri. How do we learn the other way around? The Abal Din himself is not allowed to go and start explaining his case to the Dayan before the other Baal Din shows up. Again, Tamadlai Midvar Sheker Tirchak, this is also Midvar Sheker Tirchak, because you want to make sure that the Dayan should be able to hear both sides as fairly and as unbiasedly as possible. I mentioned yesterday that the Gemara in Soita, which we were learning recently, in Ein Yaakov mentions that a person who does do that is called a Rosha Orum, is called a crafty, sneaky Rosha. So we learned from Midvar Sheker Tirchak that he's not supposed to do that. Rav Kahana Masni, Rav Kahana learns both of these dinim from the pasuk that says Lois Sisa. The pasuk says Lois Sisa Shem Ashav. Don't bear a false report, which we can also learn Lois Sasi. We can also learn the word Lois Sisa to mean Lois Sasi. Don't cause it to be heard or accepted. So here in this kind of thing, where the Baal Din is going to come and start speaking to the Dayan ahead of time, he's causing the Dayan to accept a false report, namely by causing the Dayan to be to start thinking in his favor. Okay, another din that we can learn, another din that not directly related to Midvar Sheker Tirchak, but another din as far as people's conduct in front of Beis Din. There's a pasuk in Yechezkel that uses the expression, speaking about a Rosh over there, it says, Vasher lo tov osa b'soich amav. It says that he did something not good among his people. So what does that mean? Rav Omer, Zeha bo b'havsha. So Rav says that refers to someone who comes to Beis Din with Havsha. Havsha is a power of attorney. So now you have, let's say, so Reuven and Shimon have an argument between them. So now Levi is going to come with a Havsha from Reuven, saying that he has the right to go and argue on Reuven's behalf. The problem is, Rashi says that first of all, you have he's getting involved in an argument that has nothing to do with him. Why is he mixing in? Why is he mixing in to somebody else's business? Second of all, let's say, for example, if Reuven were to come himself rather than sending Levi on his behalf, conceivably Reuven and Shimon might be able to reach a compromise. But like this, when Levi is involved, he doesn't have the right to compromise. He's a shliach. He doesn't have the right to go and start changing things on his own. So therefore, that's a problem, because now he's preventing any pshara from being made. Various Rishonim and Achronim talk about there are a variety of exceptions to this rule. First of all, Tosfos points out the problem when he's coming with Harsha is, for example, when he is a powerful person and a Baal Tainus, he's very good, he's very argumentative, so now he's getting involved in something which is not his. But you could have, for example, he's working to get the other person his money, and the other person is not able to, then on the contrary, he's doing a mitzvah. What Tosfos means by that, you have the Ramah and the Shach disagree what Tosfos means. The Ramah understand that it means, in other words, you don't want a shliach, you don't want a Baba Harsha, who is the kind of person who loves arguing in Beis Din and showing what a tough guy he is, so that's considered loy toy. But if he's doing it for the sake of helping the other person, and he's really trying to help him, then that's a mitzvah. The shach understands differently, and we're not talking about the shliach being a tough guy. We're talking about that the defendant is the one who's this tough guy. So you have, what's going to happen? You have a nitva over here who's this tough guy and loves to argue. You, a shliach, and again, a Baba Harsha, are going to get involved, then don't do that. You're just going to end up in a huge argument, which is none of your business. But if the reason why, if the reason you're going, you're Baba Harsha, is because the fellow that you're representing just doesn't have the time or doesn't have the resources or whatever, then it's a mitzvah to do it on his behalf. So that's Tosfos with those various explanations. The Ritzvah brings from his Rebbe the Ra'ah, that Sarkeut, you can have a case where the two Bali Dinim are so antagonistic to one to the other that if they go to Beis Din one against the other, you're not going to have a fair din come out because they're just going to end up yelling at each other in Beis Din. So then in that case, it would be a mitzvah to be Baba Harsha and then to represent in order to keep things calmer. The Ravid brings a long detail over there also about there are cases where it is a good thing to be Baba Harsha, where they're both in the same town, for example, let them both come to Beis Din. But if one of them is out of town, then that's a good reason to go as a shliach and go Baba Harsha. So you have a variety of different explanations, and the Aruch HaShulchan summarizes it, and he says, you know what, all of these things are true. All of those are valid reasons to be Baba Harsha. Nowadays, actually, it's fairly common when people go to Bat Dinim, especially in Eretz Yisrael, where the Bat Dinim do have a certain amount of enforcement power. It's very common, actually, nowadays, that people will hire what they call a Toen Rabbani, which is basically like a lawyer, la halacha, because nowadays, Dinim Mominus have gotten so complex with all the different opinions that there are out there in Shulchan Aruch and Noisa Kalim, and many times we don't have a clear psak halacha, so it helps to have somebody who's really familiar with all the ins and outs of halacha to represent the person in Beis Din. So they have such a concept nowadays, particularly in Israeli Bat Dinim. So that's one explanation of Asher Lo Tov Asa B'Seich Amav. Marsha points out the beginning of that pasuk refers to stealing from his father or his brother. Meaning, in other words, Marsha says, so you often have, let's say, if there's an inter-family argument, they might be embarrassed to take one another to Beis Din. But so now this third party is getting involved, and therefore it's causing that it is going to Beis Din after all, where maybe he shouldn't do that. Then he's mixing into something which is not his business, where like this, the father and the son, or the two brothers might have worked things out between themselves. So that's one explanation. Shmuel says another meaning of Asher Lo Tov Asa B'Seich Amav, Zalakeach Sodah Sheyesh Alei HaSikin. Refers to a person who buys a field where there are arguments against it. So here you have Reuven until now has owned a field, and you have other people, Shimon and Levi, who are coming and claiming that this field belongs to them for one reason or another. And then Yehuda goes and buys the field, and now the point is that now, until now, they could have worked things out with Reuven, and now they have to deal with a new person, Yehuda. So what is he doing that? Why is he mixing into something that's not his business? And figuring to himself, listen, you know what, I'm a tough guy. So that's what Rashi explains. We're talking about that he's thinking to himself, I'm a tough guy, and therefore I can stand up against any of them, and I can out-argue them in Beis Din, but that's not good. They have valid claims, and he shouldn't be doing that. Okay, so those are all various things that we learned from Midvar Shetra Tirchuk and related psukim. Okay. So now getting back to the main topic of our perek, which is Shvuas HaEdus, which is the case where a person is besworn, where a person is capable of being an aid. And one of the parties to the din Torah, the Teveya or the Nitva, comes and says, I want you to come and give Eidos on my behalf, and the person swears falsely that he doesn't know the Eidos. So then, when he does Tshuva for swearing falsely on that, then he has to bring a Korban Olah V'Yorin. So now, the Mishnah had said, after the Mishnah had mentioned that this din doesn't apply to women, because women are posel la'edos, as we learned yesterday from Psukim, and it doesn't apply to relatives, because they're posel la'edos, and so forth. So the Mishnah had said, this concept of Shavuos HaEdus, and the korban for it, would apply only to those who are suitable to give edus. So it must have la'pukimai. Who else are we excluding? We already had all the psulim. We had women, relatives, and posel la'edos. So the answer is, Amar Papa, La Puki Melech. It comes to exclude a king. It's not respectful for a king to come and stand in front of Beis Din to give Eidos. And the Mishnah, in fact, says in Sanhedrin, Melech Loidon, Melech Loimeid, Loimeidinoi. So a king does not testify in Beis Din, and we don't testify against him, because it's not respectful for him to stand in front of Beis Din to testify. And if he can't testify, then we can't testify again, then we can't testify against him either. So even if he knows testimony on behalf of somebody else, then he wouldn't come to Beis Din, so Shavuos HaEdus wouldn't apply to him. So if he falsely says and swears that he doesn't know the Edus, then nevertheless he wouldn't be chayav for a korban. Rav Acha by Yaakov says it comes to exclude somebody who gambles, where he's possible did abonon to give Edus. So now if he falsely says that he doesn't know the Edus, then he wouldn't be able to give the Edus, and therefore Shavuos HaEdus wouldn't apply to him. So the Gemara says, Manda Omer Masachet Lekovia, Rav Acha by Yaakov, who says that the Mishnah is excluding Masachet Lekovia, well, he would say, Kol Shekin Melech, how much more so a king who is posel la'edus based on what we said before, because Soim Tos Malach HaMelech, because you have to show respect for a king, and to have him testify in Beis Din is not respectful, so he would definitely be excluded. Manda Omer Melech, whereas a Papa, who says that the Mishnah is excluding a king, he would say, Masachet Lekovia, if he falsely denies that he knows the Eidos, he would in fact be chayav for the korban, because the fact is, Medaraisa Mechsechazi, because Medaraisa, he was perfectly able to give Eidos, he's not an actual Gazlan, but Rabbanan who defaslu, it's only the Chachamim passed on him, and therefore, on a Daraisa level, he could have given Eidos. So Rashi points out, Midrabbanan, we consider him a Gazlan, but Midaraisa, a Gazlan is only somebody who actually grabs something out of the other person's hand. Midrabbanan, we say that a gambler is considered a Gazlan because of his problems of Asmachta over there. So therefore, Papa would take the view, therefore, that if he did falsely claim and swear that he doesn't know this Eidos, he is going to be chayiv in the korban, because on a Daraisa level he would have been able to give the Eidos. Rashi points out, Rav Acha by Yaakov would answer to that. Listen, the fact is, if he were to come to Beis Din, he testified, we wouldn't listen to him because he's posel midrabbanan. So therefore, we can't really be mechayiv him in the korban. There is some discussion about that point. The Rashba points out that after all, maybe if he were to give Eidos in Beis Din, this Masachet Lekovia, and the other guy, let's say, was Toifus, the other guy already had, and the other guy grabbed something in his possession in payment of the debt, we wouldn't necessarily take it away from him. So in other words, his Eidos does have a certain limited scope of validity to it. But then the Rashba leaves it in Sarachiyun, actually. There is quite a bit of discussion among Achronim about the ins and outs of that, whether such a person is considered an aid at all, and therefore whether his Shavuos HaEdus would have any meaning. Tosfos also points out further on, later on, on Lamed Beis, the Gemara is going to talk about you have a case where one Eidos is acceptable. So then in that case, then Shavuos Eidos would apply to that, and they were saying that it's allowed Midrabanan. So here we're saying basically you need both. You need, over there Midrabanan, his Eidos is effective. So therefore the fact is that if he doesn't give Eidos, he's preventing the other person from collecting something. Over here Midrabanan, his Eidos is no good, but Midaraisa, Rav Papa would say that it was valid, and therefore we should be mechayiv him in a korban, but Rav Acha bar Yaakov is saying the fact is he can't do it midrabanan. Okay. The Mishnah had said b'fnei beis din v'shloi b'fnei beis din chula, that this concept applies of Shavuos Eidos and the korban for it applies whether he did the denial on the Shavuah in beis din or outside of beis din. So the Mishnah had said machlokas Rav Meir and the Chachamim about that when he's doing it mipi atzmo, when he swears on his own, then he's going to be chayav for the korban whether he did it in beis din or not. But if it's mipi acherim, if somebody else, if the other person had made the shavua and he had not replied amen, then it would be chayev only if it was in beis din. That's what Rav Meir had said. So according to Rav Meir, in other words, if Reuven goes over to Shimon and Levi, two edim, let's say, because you need two edim for this purpose, and he says to them, he says, you know edus on my behalf, come to beis din. So if they were to swear on their own, we don't know any edus for you, then they would be chayev for the korban, whether it was in beis din or out of beis din. But if it was Reuven said, I am swearing you to come testify on my behalf, and they didn't answer anything, then Rav Meir says that would be only in beis din. The Chum say either way, whether mipi atzmo or mipi acherim, it has to be in beis din. So the Gemara says, b'mai kamithi, what is the underlying machlokas of Rav Meir and the Chachamim? So the Chachamim in the yeshiva said in front of Rav Papa, they suggested the following answer. B'dun mino umino, the machlokas would be about when we learn something from something, when we learn one din from another by gzeira shava. Dun mino mina means learn from it a particular detail and then continue learning things from it. So in other words, as much as possible, because of the Gzeira Shava, we're going to try to apply the dinim that apply to one thing, we're going to try to apply them to the other thing. That's called dun mino mina. Learn from it and continue learning from it. Versus dun minav uki ba'astra means learn from it one particular din, but other than that, you're going to leave the rest of the details of the target din the way they were before. So what does that mean? So the machlokas would be as follows. They're going to be learning from Shavuos HaPikodin, which is going to be the subject of the next parak, the kind of thing where the Torah tells us that one person claims and makes a claim against the other one in beis din. For example, about a Pikodin, where he says, for example, you were my shrei mechinam, and now you're claiming the thing was lost or stolen. Well, you're potter, now you have to swear about it. That's one of the three cases, midaraisa, where a person has to swear. So now they're both going to be learning from Shavuos HaPikodin to Shavuos HaEidos, but what are we going to learn exactly? Rav Meir says, dun mino mino mi pikodin. So Rav Meir says, we're going to do dun mino mino and learn from the case of Shavuos HaPikodin. Ma pikodin mushmem piatme chayev. Now, when it comes to pikodin, when the person makes the shavua on his own, is when he's chayev the korban. And there, by Shavuos HaPikodin, the Torah does not say anything about it, like this. With Shavuos HaEidos, the Torah says, V'shoma koil ola, he hears a sound of an oath. He hears, in other words, somebody else be swearing him to come and say the Eidos. By Shavuos HaPikodin, it doesn't say any such thing. It just says, V'chichesh v'amiso, he denies, and v'nishba al shoker. So by Shavuos HaPikodin, you're talking about where he himself says the shavua on his own. So ma pikodin mushum piat mechayev. So just like by the pikodin, when he swears on his own is when he's chayev. Af edus, the same way when it comes to shvuos edus, mushmim piatmi chayev, then he's chayev when he swears on his own and not by the other person. Umina. So now Reb Meir continues to learn the other dinim from that. Ma pikodin vein bebeistin vein shaloi bebeistin. Just like by the shvuos pikodin, he would be chayev whether he swore in base, whether he swore that, for example, that the sting was stolen, that the sting was stolen and it really wasn't. Whether he swears in beistin or outside beistin, either way he's going to be chayev because the Torah doesn't make any such distinction. Af edus, the same way when it comes to shvuos edus, bein bebeistin, bein shloi bebeistin, then it would apply bein shloi bebeistin, then it would apply whether in beistin or not. So that is where Reb Meir gets his opinion that he's chayev even if he swore outside beistin as long as he answered. That's Reb Meir. But Rabbanan Sabri, Duninova Uki Ba'asra. The Chachamim then are going to hold that you can learn something from something else, but you can only learn the one din, nothing else. So they learn like this. Ma mushrim piacherim based in, so therefore, so in other words, they say, we agree that you can learn from Shavuos HaPikadon, and therefore you can learn from that even though by Shavuos HaEdus it only says Veshama, that he heard from somebody else, doesn't say where he himself made the Shavua. Nevertheless, it does also apply if he heard from the other person. It does also apply if he swore on his own. So we can learn, fine. Fine, we agree that you can learn by Gzeda Shava between them. That you can learn that if he swore by himself, then he's going to be chayev. However, they say, but other than that, you need to leave all the other dinim of shvuos ha'edus the way they were. Namely, ma mushmam piacherim, based in ein, shloi based in loy. Now, definitely when he's be sworn by others, is going to apply only in based in. Because it says in the pasuk, "V'shama kol ola," he hears, and "im lo yagid," if he doesn't speak up, the nos avonah, then he bears his guilt, and that's talking about where he doesn't speak up in Beistin, as we said at the beginning of the parak, because it has to be im lo yagid, it has to be in the place where if he speaks up, his edus will be effective, namely in Beistin. So there we learn from that it means it has to be in Beistin. Therefore, we can't learn that detail from Shavuos HaPikadon. The Chachamim say, Shaloi bebeistin loy, af mushrim piatzmai, bebeistin ein, shaloi bebeistin loy, the same way when mushrim piatzmai, when he makes the shvu on his own, which you're learning, and we agree we can learn from Shavuos HaPikadon, that there is a case of mushrim piatzmai, where he makes the shvu himself, however, they would say it has to be only in Beistin. Okay, so that was the explanation of the Chachamim in Rapapa's yeshiva. However, Amalahu Rapapa, but Rapapa says that can't really be the explanation. If the Chachamim are learning from Shavuos HaPikadon, then everybody would agree that you could do Dun Mino Mina and learn as many dinim as possible from one to the other. Why would the Chachamim say Dun Mino V'Uki V'Asra, that you can only learn the one particular din, that Mushrim V'Atzma, that him himself swearing is enough to be Mechayiv and Mekorban, but not learn any of the other dinim? No. Rav Papa says, Ela hainu taima de Rabbanan. Rather, the reason of the Chachamim, why they're saying that if he swears on his own, he's chayiv only if he did it in Beistin, they say, they say we can learn it by Kavachoymer. From the case of Mushrim Piacherim. They say, Umam Piacherim Chayev, Madach is chayiv for a korban when he hears a shvua from the other person. How much more so when it's on his own? Because certainly a shvua that he himself says with his own mouth is going to be a lot stronger than a shvua that he heard from the other person and didn't even answer amen to. So that would be a reason to be mechayev him. That would be a reason to be mechayev him a korban. But they continue. However, once they're learning it by a kavachomer, then we have the usual rule with a kavachomer, daya levamin adin liyaskanadin. You can't make what you're learning to with a kavachomer be any stronger than what you're learning from. The classic example of it, the Gemara mentions in Bava Kamma. There was a whole sugya about Dayo in Bava Kamma, where the Gemara explains you have in the case of Miriam, when she got Saras after speaking Lashon Hara about Moshe, so Hashem says, Valvio Yorek Yorek Mefaneh, if her father had disgraced her, she would have to be considered because she had insulted him or whatever. She would have to stay away, stay in timeout for 7 days. Now, for the Shechina, there ought to be 14 days, because the Shechina is much more important than a human father. And because Hashem provides for a baby twice as much as each of the parents, etc. But because of Dayoy, it's going to be only 7 days. Therefore, she has to have 7 days of Tzaras. So even though Moshe is davening, Kel Nora, Fon Allah, Hashem heal her immediately, Hashem is saying it's going to have to be 7 days. So we see this concept of Dayoy. Dayoy means enough. So in other words, if we're going, yes, we can learn one thing from another with a Kavach Chomer, but we can't say that the thing that we're learning to is stronger than what we're learning from. So we can learn from a Kavach Chomer, first of all, that, yeah, if a Shvur that he himself, that he heard from somebody else is strong enough to be Mechayev and a Korban, how much more so a Shvur he makes himself? However, if he's besworn by the other person, then it's only in Beistin. Again, because the Pasuk clearly says so. The Shoma and in Lo Yagid, which means that he hears it, and if he doesn't say the Eidos, meaning in Beistin, which is where the Eidos would have to be said. So therefore, the Papa says, so we can learn from this Kavach Chomer and from this Dayoy that that's how it is also with Mushmim Piatme, where he swears himself has to be in front of Beistin and not outside of Beistin. Tosfos points out then that, in other words, that according to the Papa, we don't want to learn from Shavuos HaPikadon because, for example, Shavuos HaPikadon applies to men and women, whereas Shavuos HaEdos, we said at the beginning of the Perek, applies only to men. So the mayor has a Gzeira Shava that mentions later in the Perek, but the Chachamim are not accepting that. So the Papa is saying they're not using Gzeira Shava at all, they're using a Kavach Chomer. An interesting point in that regard is, can you use a Kavach Chomer to be mechayev him a korban? We learned in Makkos the concept called Ein Onshin Min Adin, you can't punish a person based on a Kavach Chomer. So the Ritva points out that here we have a proof that you can be mechayev a person a korban based on a Kavach Chomer, that's not considered an Onish. So the Gemara says, Omru le Rabbanan, Rab Papa. So the other Chachamim answered back, Rab Papa. They said, so you're telling us that he's learning it from a Kavach Chomer. How could you say that the Chachamim and the Meir are not arguing on this mechanism of how a Gzeira Shava works, Dun Mino Mino, or Dun Mino V'Uki Ba'asra? It must be that they learn from it. Well, Tanan Gabi Pekodin, because in the next parak, when we start talking about Shavuos HaPikadon, we said we have a similar machlokas. Shavuos HaPikadon Nehegas Ba'Anoshim of Anoshim. It starts out by saying Shavuos HaPikadon applies to men and women because a woman, after all, could be a shomer or could be the owner of the bet. B'Chokin of a Kroven, it applies to non-relatives or relatives. B'Chedin of Psalim, it applies whether people are kosher la'edus or posher la'edus, because again, being a shomer or being an owner of an object has nothing to do with all those things. B'Fnei Beistin, B'Shaloi B'Fnei Beistin, it applies whether the shomer denied in Beistin or outside Beistin. Again, that would be only if he swears on his own. He swears that this object was lost. But if he's besworn by the other person and he doesn't answer Amen, so the other person says, you're supposed to be giving me back my animal or my whatever that I deposited with you for safekeeping. I want you to agree to a shvuah that you're claiming that it was lost, that it was in fact lost, and therefore you're potter. And the other guy doesn't answer Amen, but nevertheless, that's still a Shavua. So then that would have to be Abshuyuch Bebebebeistin, then he would be Chayev, the Osham, that are the Asham Gzelus, only if he denies it in Beistin, give it a mayor. The Chum say no, whether he does it on his own, or whether he listens to the other person, Kivet Shekofa by Chayev, as soon as he denies the claim, then he's Chayev. Now, we have to ask, the Chachamim say to the Papa, Mushmim Piacherim Epikodim, Menolahu L'Rabbanon, where, after all, would the Chachamim be learning that when it comes to Shavuos HaPikodim, that he should be Chayev if Mushmim Piacherim? It never says such a thing. By Shavuos HaPikodim, the Torah says, V'chiche, she denies, and V'nishba'al Shokar, he swears falsely. So fine, he swears falsely, he's Chayev HaKorban Asham. Where do we find that if he heard the Shavuah from the other person, and didn't even answer Amen, that he should be Chayev HaKorban? They must be learning, Lav Degam, they must be learning it from Shavuos HaEdos. So they're learning it from Shavuos HaEdos. So therefore, you have the same kind of thing. Are they arguing? They're arguing, how much are we learning from Shavuos HaEdos? So they're going to say, And how much? So they're going to say when it comes to they're going to learn from Shavuos HaEdos where there he hears a Shavua and he's chayiv for a korban. So the same way that the korban, if he hears the Shavua, then he's going to be chayiv for a korban over there, the korban asham. Here, by the way, Rashi points out you can't say a kavachomer. There's no way that you can learn a kavachomer because on the contrary, saying a Shavua on his own is definitely more chomer than hearing a Shavua from the other person. So maybe you could say so the kavachomer wouldn't work. What are you going to say? Because if he says the Shavua on his own and then denies the claim with the Pekodim, therefore because of that he would be chayev even if he hears it from the other person by Kavachomer. That's the opposite of a Kavachomer. So therefore the only way they could be learning it would be by Mamatzinu or Gzeira Shava. And therefore we see that they hold Dun Minav Uki Ba'asra. You're saying you're going to learn something from Shavuos HaEdos. The fact that if he hears a Shavuah from the other person, he can be chayev, but it still has to be Uki Ba'asra, it still has to be investing, it still has to be investing.
Well, just in case we hear that speaking, I just investing.
No, so that's with Shavuos HaPikadon. We are talking about invasion. That's what Chacham was saying. Chacham was saying it works even whether in or out of Basin, because at Shavuos HaPikadon, the Pasuk never mentions anything about Basin. So therefore, they're saying Dun Minav Uki Ba'Asra. We are learning from Shavuos HaEdos. However, unlike Shavuos HaEdos, which has to be Davke and Basin, Shavuos HaPikadon can be outside of Basin and be Mechayven as well. So we see that they clearly hold that we don't do Dun Minav Mina. We hold Dun Minav Uki Ba'Asra. So therefore, how can you tell us, Rav Papa, that they don't argue about that, and instead they're arguing on the point, and instead they're arguing regarding whether we can use a Kavachomer. So the Pop answers, Mehahi ain. You know what? Once you bring in that Vachorka, especially what's up the card, then you're right. You can show that over there they hold Dun Minava Uki Ba'Asra. Meha, but in our case over here, Shavuos HaEdos, Lekala Mishma Minah, you can't demonstrate that the Vachorka is also based on this concept of Dun Minava Uki Ba'Asra. In our case, I still maintain that we can learn that their machlokas is based on a kavachomer, is based on whether to apply the kavachomer or not. So in other words, yes, I agree. We can see the chacham do hold of a concept of Dun Minav Uki Ba'Asra, but that doesn't necessarily mean that over here they have the same machlokas. Over here, their machlokas might be based on a different principle.
Which would be
the kavachomer that we said before, the kavachomer and the dayer that we said that if he's chayev for hearing the shvuah, how much more so for making the shvuah on his own. Tosfos teaches out that then according to the mayor would hold Dun Minav Mina. So therefore, so fakir, we would say that over here, we would say the mayor's reason. So over there, fakir, you could say the mayor would learn a kavachomer and learn Shavuos HaPikadon from Shavuos HaEdos, because you would say Edos doesn't apply to women, and you're still chayev whether in piyatim and piyaperim. How much more so when it comes to Shavuos HaPikadon. On the other hand, then Tosfos says, in that case, you can't say, what about Shavuos Bitri? Because Shavuos Bitri is different because it doesn't apply to Mezid. Unlike Shavuos HaEdos and Shavuos HaPikadon, whereas we're going to learn it applies to Mezid as well, Shavuos HaPikadon does not. Shavuos Bitri does not apply to Mezid. As we learned from the previous paragraph, a person doesn't bring a korban for a Mezid of Shavuos Bitri. So in short, Rav Papa is saying, I agree that in that case, we have to say they're arguing on the mechanism of Gzeira Shava, whether Dun Minav Mina, etc., but not necessarily is that the case over here. Over here, they may be arguing whether to apply a Kavachomer over here, and as Tosfos points out, when it comes to the other case of Shavuos HaPikadon Fakir, the mayor might use a Kavachomer, which the Chachamim do not accept. The Mishnah had said the Chayovan al Zoyna Shavua, the Chayav, if they were mazed on the Shavua. Now, unlike most cases, a person doesn't bring a korban for something to mazed. This is one of the few cases in Halacha where a person does. So the Gemara says, Menahani Mili, where do we know that from? The Tanan Abonon, Bekulam Nema Behem Benelam. All those things where it talks about back to back over there in Parshas Vayikra about the korban of the Yerid, it says Benelam, that it was hidden from him, that he forgot. But kindly, Nemav Avanelam, here by the Shavuos HaEdos, it doesn't say Avanelam, L'chayiv, Al-Mezid K'Shregig, which tells us that he's chayiv from Mezid just as much as Shregig.
The same carbon.
Same carbon, no, the Yorid regardless, yeah. One point is, I mean, one point is the Chalal Mefoshim talk about what the reason is why the Torah says a Korban Olah B'Yored for these, as opposed to most other things. You have a regular Chatas. So one point is, in other words, because these are somewhat more common things. These are things that people like treat more lightly or whatever. So one idea is, in other words, like people don't necessarily want the hassle of going to Beis Din and giving Eidos. And you have, even they say the Mezid, like, you know, there's still there's a certain element of there's a certain element of, you know, they don't fully realize they're doing wrong by preventing the other person from getting his money in Beis Din. They just figure they want to save themselves the hassle, and therefore the Torah says they can be a scapper with a korban for that also. Next. Who said they can also be chayev where they were shogig, but they were mazed on the edus. So what does that mean? Hechi dami, what does that mean? Shigigosim zdoina edus. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amarav, but Omer, it means that the aid says, yedeani sheshvuazu asura. I know that the shvua is also, I know that this is a, says to himself, I know this is a false shvua, I will any day, if you have another korban employed, I don't know whether I'm chayev a korban for it or not, he would still be chayev the korban. Now earlier we had a few blocks ago, the Gemara had referred to a machlokas of munbaz and the Chachamim on that topic, where a person has shigas korban. He knows that something is osur, but he doesn't know whether he's chayav a korban for it or not. And the Gemara had mentioned that this machlokas munbaz and the Chachamim, whether in fact a person is chayav a korban in that case, and the Gemara had explained that even the Chachamim who argue with Munbaz in other cases would agree in this case he still would be a b'cholat Torah kula. There's not such a chiddush that a person does something, he's chayv kardes and is chayv a korban for it, of course, b'shogeg. But here there's a chiddush in the matter because these various kinds of shavuos, there's no kardes involved, and yet there's still a korban. So therefore the Chacham would agree that if he doesn't know that he's chayv a korban, that's enough to be considered a shogeg. And therefore, so that it's well explained. But what it means, the same thing over here. It just doesn't bother spelling out all those details because we already had it four blocks ago. Next. The Ein Chayavin Ashigigosid Greda, but we said they're not Chayav Greda. We said they're not Chayav for just a pure Shgaga. In other words, where they genuinely have forgotten or don't know that they know this Eidos, and they also don't know that it's a false Shvur. So then they would be Potter for the Korban. So the Gemara says, now we had a few dafim ago, we had the story of Rav Kahana and Rav Asi, the Talmidim of Rav, where they would learn something from Rav, and afterwards each of them would swear that Rav said such and such, and they're contradictory, and when they came and asked Rav, and he would clarify the matter for them, and then when one of them would ask, in that case, doesn't mean that I made a false shvur, and Rav told them, Libcha Onscha, your heart made you an onus, you genuinely thought that what you were saying was the correct understanding of what I said. So now that we have our mission over here, Lema Tanena, Lidra Kahana Ravasi. On the face of it, here we have a clear Mishnah about Rav Kahana and Ravasi's story. So why were they wondering about whether it's a false Shura? They know the Mishnah, the Amiroi knew all the Mishnayas. So the answer is Loi. No, because you can't necessarily answer from our Mishnah. Afa Gabzik Nan, because even though it says in our Mishnah, Istrich, we still needed, that Rav still needed to answer them the question, then tell them that the same thing applies to Shavuos Vitri. Because otherwise you would have thought, Hocho, who delikes the Venelam, because again, here by Shvorsa Eidos, it doesn't say Venelam, Lachayev Alam, the Be'in and Shregig Dumi Demezid. So therefore, maybe over here, we require the Shregig has to be at least to a certain extent similar to the Mezid. So it can't be a complete Shregig where there's nothing at all in common with Mezid, and therefore, complete shogig over here would be potter. Avol hosin dechti v'nelam, but over there it does say v'nelam. I feel the shogigosa called you. So you would think any kind of shogig is enough for it to be considered a shavuos sheker, a shavuos bitui, and to be mechayiv him for a korban. So therefore, kamash malon. Therefore, Rav had to tell us that no, that over there also a shogig, a complete shogig is in fact potter because it's considered an oinus, basically. So here's where Tosfos discusses, like we talked about yesterday, what exactly is the nature of their shvur. If they say that they don't know the shvur, then that's not a false shvur. The fact is, it's a true shvur. That right now they don't know the edus. So that's the one possibility Tosfos says, is they're saying a shvur that we never knew, or we never saw any avis for you. So fine, to say that we don't know, okay, right now they don't know, but to say we never saw, that would be a false shvur. And we're saying, no, that on the other hand, that's considered a complete shogun because they really didn't know. And then Tosfos says there can also be the case where they think that it is actually mutter to swear falsely. So that would also be considered a pure shogun. There is actually some discussion. There was actually some discussion when they say, well, it's actually, this more has to do more with the next Mishnah, where they're going to say now, they tell them a shvur that we don't know Eidos for you, so now the Mishnah is going to talk about, they swear again and again, once they swore the one time they don't know Eidos, then that's a false shvur. How are they chayav a shvur in the future ones anyway, if they anyway are now possible Eidos because of a false shvur? So there's a number of different points about that. It can mean, and one, so there can be, for example, there can be where they didn't realize, for example, you can have a case where they swore over and over and then they come to Beis Din and then there's a number of points about that. The Tumim gives an answer. So here, you know what, let's learn the Mishnah first. We'll learn the Mishnah now and then we'll talk about all this. Yeah. Mishnah says, Shvuasa Eidos Ketzed. How does the Shvuasa Eidos work? A person says to two people, come and say Eidos on my behalf. And they answer, Shvur she'edon yodin l'cha Eidos, a Shvur, we don't know any Eidos for you. Or they just say, Eidon yodin l'cha Eidos, they just say, we don't know the Eidos, without a lashon of Shvur, and he says, Mashbi'ani aleichem, I am beswearing you, v'omru amen, and they say amen, which is they accept the Shvur. So now, Harei l'chayovin, now the result is that when it turns out that it was a false Shvur, then they're going to be chayav the korban. But Rashi there says, though, it does have to be that they did answer Amen. If they just were quiet, there's no Kabbalah Shvur. So in other words, when we were saying before, we're talking about, we talked about Mipi Achmi, Mipi Acherim. So unlike in the previous Perek, we said at the end of the previous Perek that even without answering Amen, there can be cases of the Shavuos Bitri, a person is Chayev, but the Shavuos Eidos was saying it's not like that. Even they didn't answer, unless they answer Amen, they haven't accepted the Shvur. Suppose that he beswore them five times outside Beis Din, Ubola Beis Din Vahodu, and then they came to Beis Din and admitted that they swore falsely. Vahodu, and they admitted they do know the Eidos, Turin, then they're potter from the Korban. And they're potter from the korban because the pasuk says in lo yagid v'nos sabonos. So again, it has to be that they as long as they didn't admit in Beis Din, then that's a problem. Then they're chayiv in the korban. But here they admitted in Beis Din, so therefore they're good.
Admitted they were lying.
So they admitted that they're lying. So yeah, here's where you have the question that Achronim bring up, that on the face of it, once they made a false shvur, they're posel eidos. So then how are they coming to Beis Din anyway? So
this was this form of the Raisa, this form of the Bone?
No, well, they made an oath. They said, we swear that we don't know the eidos, so they accepted Amen, yeah. So the Tumim gives an answer that you could have a case, let's say, where he gives them the Shvur and they don't even say Amen. So then that's not considered a Shvur at all. So now they're not Posel Eidos, but from the point of view of Shvur Se'edos, then they're saying, so later on, if they say, well, we deny in Beis Din, then still they're denying the five Shvurs that they said before. Therefore, so in other words, you can have a case where they're not Posel Eidos because what they said was not a false Shvur Se'edos because they didn't answer Amen. But because they didn't answer Amen, but nevertheless, in terms of Shvuas Eidos, it does work. And you can also have, for example, that you can have also the Tumim goes on to say, let's say he could tell them, I'm swearing you that if you know Eidos for me, then you'll come to Beis Din. And they answer Amen. So fine, they're not saying we don't know the Eidos. They're saying, Amen, yes, if we know the Eidos, we won't come. But then they don't show up because they claim they don't know the Eidos. So now, later on, they come and say that they don't know the Eidos, so now it turns out, so now they made all their previous Shavuos false ones, but until now they weren't possible Eidos. So that's the Tumim. The Kasaris has a big problem with that, and then he has various questions on the Tumim of that. It has to be even the case where the Eidim themselves say the Shavuot, not just where they're hearing it from somebody else. So he brings from the Ran that you wouldn't believe them to say that they forgot that they knew it. And then therefore, so it wouldn't be considered a false, therefore it wouldn't be considered a false Eidos. Again, Tosfos had drawn the distinction between whether they say we forgot versus they say we never knew this Eidos in the first place. So there can be something like that. So as long as we don't know that they actually lied deliberately, then they'd still be kosher la'edus. So yeah, the Ritzvah also talks about there's an idea over here called Pauginim Dibura, that we can sort of split up what they're saying, that they can say that we believe them to about the edus that they're giving now, but not to say that beforehand they were swearing falsely, but rather we can say that they made a mistake and they thought they didn't know the edus and they do. So there's various ways in which we can say that they're kosher la'edros and still it turns out that they're going to be chayav for their previous shavuos. So now the Mishnah continues. So again, hishviyal em chomesh pamim chutz lebeisdin. If he swore them five times out of beisdin, and each time they denied they know the edus, uvol lebeisdin, and they come to beisdin v'hoidu, and they admitted turin, so now they're going to be potter from the korban because they did say the edus in beisdin. But if they denied still in beisdin, chayavan al kalachas v'achas, then they're going to be chayav a separate korban for each individual shvur that they made. Subject to the machlokas of Rameyo and the Chachamim before about bifnei beisdin and shaloi bifnei beisdin.
Again, when they are chayav of each korban, if they do it in.
So if they swore five times outside beisdin and now in beisdin they continued to deny that they know the edus. So now it turns out that each of their previous shavuos, even though the shavuos themselves were outside beisdin, but now they denied it in beisdin as well. So now they're chayav for each one. Because now the kfira, the denial in beisdin, goes on all of them. Rashi brings from the Gemara is going to learn from a pasuk, that it means that each individual shvur, even though it was outside beisdin, is going to be mechayev them because now they have one umbrella kfira that covers all of it.
Yeah, but there should be one carbon, not two.
No, but that's what we're saying, because they swore five times.
On the same thing.
He comes to them and says, come say Avis for me. And they swear they don't know. And then he says again, but I know you really know it. And again they swear we don't know. And again. And then they come to Basin and still continue to deny that they know the Avis. Later on, when they do Truva, they're going to have to bring five Korbanos.
This doesn't go to the category where you have to give them a warning that you're swearing.
No, there's no warning to bring a Korban. You don't need a warning to bring a Korban.
Right, but to make them chayav on each one.
No, but that's what I'm saying. To make them chayav a korban, you don't need a warning for that.
To be chayav
for each one. Omer of Shimon Matam. So Reb Shimon says, why is that? Because once they deny in beisdin, they can never say the edus again. So once they deny in beisdin, they don't have a way of coming to beisdin afterwards and saying, you know what, we do know the edus. So in other words, Rashi explains like this. If they had at any time they deny in beisdin, then they can't give edus again. Kivin shehigid shuvan echozer magid. So even though so here they swore again and again outside beisdin. Now if they had, for example, if they had to begin with been quiet and just not said the edus. So now they're able to give the edus in beisdin and they're able to swear. But now because if they had to begin with been quiet and then only at the end in beisdin they denied the edus, so then we would say that all of their shavuos are useless except for the first shavuah, and that would be the one they're chayav for. But here, where they actually swore over and over outside beisdin and then in beisdin they denied, then therefore the denial goes on all five shavuos, because until that point all of those shavuos could have been all of those shavuos were able to be effective because they were all outside beisdin before they had gone to beisdin. At any point after that they could have come to beisdin and said, you know what, we do in fact know the edus. That's what Shimon is explaining. Why is it they're chayav all those korbanos? Why is it they're chayav five korbanos? Because only after they made all those five shavuos are they disqualifying themselves from edus by coming to beisdin and denying that they know the edus. And now kivin shehigid shuvan echozer magid kicks in. So that's why they're chayav for all of those. The Mishnah continues. Kofru shnein ke'echad. If the two edim together both denied it, betos kedidivur shnein chayoven, then they're both chayiv. V'zeach hazeh. But if it was one after the other, and if it was one after the other, harishin chayiv v'asheni potter. The first one is going to be chayiv, but the second one will be potter because at that point the first one already can't give edus anymore. Now the second one by himself is not one ed, is not a valid ed. So therefore, so now he can't be chayav a korban for the fact that he denied it. Kofar Echad Vahoda Echad, the other way around, if one of them denied and the other one admitted, a Kofar Chayiv, then the one who denied is going to be the one Chayiv the Korban. What if there were two groups of Edim? One group denied the claim and then the other one denied it also. Because either one could have accomplished the Edus, and therefore, in other words, just because one group denied that they know the Edus does not prevent the Edus of the other one from potentially being valid, and therefore each one by themselves is doing a full Shavuos Edus, and therefore each group individually is going to be chayav.
So even though you only need two Edus, we learned, you know, yesterday or days ago, so it's, that's what it says.
No, in other words, so you have like this. So you have, you need is two Edim.
Right.
But in other words, you can have. So Reuven has two, Reuven is claiming against Shimon and Beis Din, he has two sets of Edim over there, Levi and Yehuda, and Yisachar and Zvolun. When Levi and Yehuda swear that we don't know the Edus, that doesn't prevent Yisachar and Zvolun's Edus from being valid, and vice versa. So therefore, each one individually is Chayev. But if within Levi and Yehuda themselves, if Levi says, I swear I don't know the Edus, and Yehuda does not, we can't be Mechayev Yehuda. We can't be Mechayev Yehuda because at that point Levi is out of the picture. So now Yehuda is only one aid, and one aid is not enough to be Mechayev Mamon. So in that case, then the first one will be Chayev, but the second one will be Potter. Because at that point, there's no aid. It's possible anymore.
You can't make a swear on one aid.
Now, you can make them swear, but that's not necessarily reason enough. It's only when the Edus were actually Mechayev Mamon, not when it's Mechayev Shvur. We're going to talk about that as we go through the Perek. So the whole concept of aid applies only, the whole concept would apply only when there are two Edim, not when there's only the one. Okay, so we'll start the Gemara tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, and we'll talk about these Dim more about these Dinim of Shvur Edus.